The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small-batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos. I've got Alicia Hopper in the studio running the controls, and DeJuan Bennett here in the studio with us. How
Hello.
You doing?
I am fine. How about yourself?
I'm good. What'd you do this weekend? What's up?
I actually didn't do much. I chilled around the house. My wife and I were supposed to go out for Valentine's Day, but then our babysitter, her kids got sick, so we didn't actually go out. But we did spend some time together. We watched some movies, ran some errands, things of that nature. So we didn't do much. I think we enjoy sometimes those weekends when we don't really have to do anything.
When I woke up yesterday morning and I was like, I don't have to work, you know, it really felt good. It took a lot of pressure off. And
You need a break sometimes.
Huh?
You need a break sometimes.
You do.
Yeah, I tell people that's why it's so important. I don't know. I don't know where I was reading it, but I was seeing another country kind of went to 4-day work weeks.
I think that
should be like a national thing, because I think once you get to Sunday, and then if you know, let's just say for instance, you didn't go back to work until Tuesday, by Monday you're kind of ready to go back, right?
Yeah.
You're ready to go back. So when you get there on Tuesday, you're excited, you give your full effort, and by the time you're ready to leave again, it's Thursday. So you can make it to Friday. I don't know. I think there's some significant psychological advantages.
I like
advantages,
that logic.
Right? There's some significant psychological advantages to being able to have a little more time to yourself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I went to the doctor yesterday, and one of the things the doctor said was, you need a vacation.
Okay, all right.
I'm sure he did.
He's like, when's the last time you took a vacation that wasn't work-related? I was like, I had to think about it really hard. It's been about 5 years, really. If you want to call a real vacation, go have some fun, without the kids, really get some R&R. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Really long time.
You need to do that.
You need to do that, especially a vacation where you don't have an agenda.
Oh, one of those vacations. That's my favorite.
Where you just show up and then whatever you feel like doing is what you actually end up doing. Those are real vacations because you're not held to this, I have to wake up at this time to do this thing. I can just go and relax and go wherever I feel like going.
That's how I like to travel.
Same. We're going to do this at this time and
Bird
then we're going
like
to do
show
this.
Up, huh?
Yeah.
just like to show
I
up.
I don't like agendas.
Spontaneous.
Being spontaneous.
Yeah.
But
that's
remember,
me.
We talked about that before, the psychological advantages of the clarity you get in being spontaneous and not always having to be rigid and organized in everything you do. Just the ability to say, hey, today I feel like going to go swimming in the ocean in my birthday suit, all right? And I'm just going to do it, or I'm just going to lay around the beach, or I'm going to sleep into 12. How often do we get to do that? Because if it's a work vacation, you still have responsibilities, obligations. You got to network. You got to pay attention to your emails. When's the last time you've been able to go away for 5 days and turn your phone off?
Yeah.
Could you do that, Bern?
The thing that makes that difficult is children.
Okay.
Without children, no, I'd be fine. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
But when you've got children, it's hard to...
you know, they need you sometimes. Yes. And so that would be very difficult with children.
You got to remember, though.
And I don't have grandparents or anything for them to take care of, you know. So
our parents didn't have, you know, we didn't have access to them in that way. You know, if they were going out of town, you know, they may call, they may not, but we didn't have the same access to them. And
yeah.
I understand that we're in a society where, you know, people are constantly having access to us. But sometimes with access to our children brings access to people we work with, to business relationships. Yep. And other people now have access yep. to you. And it's kind of hard to be able to just sit and relax,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not feel like you have to reply to that email.
Yeah. No, I'm getting better at it. I am. I you know, here at One Life Radio, like the girls and I, we typically we check out on Friday at 5, and I don't want to hear from anybody till Monday morning at 9, unless yeah. it's an emergency. Like typically, that's how we.
I'm the queen of letting my phone die and yeah. like just not charging yeah. it.
Note to self: never text burn on the weekend.
Yeah. Well, if it's something, you know, if it's important, we have to. Yeah. But, you know, but typically the rule is everybody go chill for a couple of days. You need your rest.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think it's important. I do. Oh, my gosh. So I've got all this stuff in front of me. I don't know where to begin. I want to talk about some funny stuff, though. I picked up the most recent issue of Men's Health. Uh-huh. And it always fascinates
these.
Me. It's always got the sex in there, you know, like score, birthday sex, anytime.
Anytime.
So I didn't know until actually a couple of years ago that was a thing with guys. Like mm-hmm. they know or they think they're always going to have sex on their birthday. Is that true?
There are certain days where you kind of expect sex. I would say probably birthday.
Really?
Birthday okay. is one. I would say Valentine's Day, Father's Day.
To me.
The New Year.
Why does it have to be so?
New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
what else you got?
Tuesday, right? You know, Saturday morning. You know, I think for guys though. Here's the thing, guys enjoy
yeah,
sex,
us.
Right?
Of course. Well, women do too. Hello,
we enjoy sex. We always talk about the benefits of sex and, you know, the hormones that it secretes and all that. But we also enjoy the ability to kind of love on the person that we love. We love that kind of being a conqueror, right? I kind of
yes.
control things a bit. Men like that. We also like the feeling of somebody wanting us or looking at us in a certain type of way.
Yeah.
Well, this, you know, society has trained us to believe that men only want sex, but studies show that women want sex just as much as men, right? The problem
maybe
is
more.
Maybe even more. The problem is, are women getting that fulfilling, satisfying sex that men
yeah.
get, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. So you hear that. I have a friend, a couple of friends. They were a couple. They're getting a divorce.
I wonder
because
why.
Because he wanted sex every single day. I'm just uh-huh. going to say it. And it got to the point where it's just like, you know, the old wham, bam, you know.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And she got sick of it,
uh-huh.
you know. And I just don't think that's healthy in a relationship. I don't. To put that kind of demand, you know, on anyone for anything that I don't know. Every single day just seems like a little much.
You are.
And this is from someone who you know, like I have always had a vibrant sex life.
I think that, you know. That's where people have to recognize, like, what's an acceptable amount of sex to have? And I think there has to be a middle, because you have some people that they don't want to have sex. And then you have people who want to have sex every day. I think there's a middle ground, because what I always tell people, the things that you do in your relationship has to work for the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you're somebody who's cutting sex off in the relationship because you feel uncomfortable or you're not getting satisfied or you feel uncomfortable with yourself or regardless of whatever reason it's going on, you have to then see how does that affect your partner. And then if you're a partner who wants sex all the time,
mm-hmm.
every day, you want all these kind of weird, you know, positions and things like that, you're into all these fetishy things, you have to take into consideration how that makes your partner feel.
Yeah.
The sex life has to work for the people who are engaged in the sex life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We've talked about this. We actually did a podcast after the broadcast,
yes.
I believe was about swinging and stuff.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. A little swinging. Little fetishy.
Little swinging. Little. Yeah. I don't. You know, what is up with that? I just can't wrap
my
head around it.
I met another couple who's in an open relationship.
Would you like a guy like would you like to watch your boyfriend or your husband do it with somebody else?
You know, I'm going to say no to that.
Yeah.
But I have been hit on and asked to be part of.
Oh, of course. So
and
am
I was like,
yes.
I might say no. Thank you, though.
Yeah.
I'm like half flattered, half very confused on the whole situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm hmm.
I don't think you can, and he's over here going, I wish you could see this. What he's saying. So I'm not going to say it.
You
don't
say it.
No. So clearly you think it's, well, you can't judge because you're a shrink.
What I try not to do is this. When people,
and I'm not judging, I just can't wrap my head around
when,
it.
When people tell me that they're into multiple partners in their relationship for whatever reason, whether they're swinging, they have an open relationship, maybe they're dating within a marriage, so they're doing some polyamorous. When they tell me that, my question is always, why? Well, yeah. Tell me more. Because I want to have an understanding of why you need this.
A third party.
Why do you need this?
It's baloney.
Well, hold on.
You are making me so nervous.
Why are people addicted to drugs, right? Why do people take cocaine, right? Because they're addicted to the dopamine high from the cocaine. They're not addicted to the cocaine. They're addicted to the dopamine high. Well, why do people engage in a lot of sex? They're addicted to the oxytocin, that feeling that you get from having sex. And if you're with somebody who wants to have sex every day, right? Or you want to have sex every day, and the person that you want to,
I wouldn't marry someone like that.
Then somebody will say,
"Hey,
I'm fine with you."
I might not feel like it every day. I wouldn't marry someone like that. I wouldn't even date someone like that. Well, maybe for a while.
But here's the problem: when you're in that dating stage, right? You're kind of in that infatuation stage with a person. You're having sex a lot.
Yes, of course.
You don't really know that they don't want to have sex as often, because in the early first 2 years, you're having sex as often as you want it. But later on, you kind of start to dwindle down, and they're like, "Well, hold on. I signed up for daily sex."
Well, I think we should talk more about this before we go to our planned topic today, okay, which is imposter syndrome. But yeah, we'll do this in the next segment and segue into that. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Dewan Bennett, I love this guy. He's good. You're going to want to stay tuned. He's amazing. If you've not heard him before, he is a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo, California. And he's amazing. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Oh my gosh. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos. I've got Alicia in the control room and Dewan Bennett in studio. He is a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo, California. Dewan has two master's degrees, one in counseling and another in psychology. He is the owner of Dewan Bennett Counseling, a private mental health practice here in Dallas. Dewan believes that the key to mental and behavioral success is the ability to master self-awareness and emotional control. You can find him on Instagram or Facebook at Dewan Bennett Counseling. His website is also PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. That's PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. You know, we're going to talk about imposter syndrome coming up here in just a minute, but I want to finish this talk about sex.
Okay.
And which we were talking about before we went to break, if you're just now joining us, about having sex every day. Mm-hmm. We, you know, segued into like swinging and just, you know, and mm-hmm. everybody was talking. And so, but, you know, in Men's Health, that's what started it. So Men's Health has an article in there, Score Birthday Sex Anytime. And look at this, a stress-free guide, okay, yes, to special occasion sex. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yes.
I thought you just have sex when you're happy.
Well, sometimes you do it out of
angry?
Duty too, right?
Know.
Right?
You have sex when you're angry?
No, I don't know. I was just throwing it
out
there.
No. That's a real thing. Right. You got to remember, in some relationships, people argue to build up to the makeup sex. So they build up to get to a point to where now, because we were so angry and frustrated with each other, we're going to go and take that frustration out on each other
that
in the bed.
That sounds mental. Sounds mental to me. Am I wrong?
You got to remember, for sex, for some people, sex is, you either have body-centered sex or person-centered sex. Body-centered sex is when you're talking about sex, it just makes you feel good. You enjoy the feeling of
sex.
It's
both, though, isn't it?
Yes, but it can be both, right? For some people, then you have person-centered, when it's about the emotional connection, the relationship with the person, the connection that you have, how they make you feel. But you do have people who choose one or the others. Ideally, it's both. But for some people, they just like having sex. And for some people, they like the connection that sex gives them to someone else. Mm-hmm.
I like both.
Okay.
What about you, Aviana? What do you like?
No comment.
No comment.
No.
No. No comment.
Huh.
Luke's listening.
You don't want to share.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
How could you not know?
Ask me later.
Okay. I'll ask her later. All right. I was going to say Ashley. I'll ask Ashley, but she might say no comment too.
Alicia?
What did I say?
Ashley.
Ashley. Oh, my God. What is wrong with me?
You can call me whatever you want. It's totally fine.
Alicia.
I'm all for it. I like a very healthy life.
So in the article, what are they discussing as far as some of the occasions that are important besides your birthday?
Yeah, I don't know.
Tuesday,
right?
Wednesday, Thursday. Well, it says here what you were saying. It says, okay, here's the article. It says planning a sexathon on an anniversary or birthday may seem cliche, but I don't know if you can. I think you can say icky day or D.
Icky day.
Icky day.
I don't know.
Dick in a box? Can you say that? I just said it. That's what it says in the article. I didn't want to say it.
It's on the airways.
It's on the airways, but, you know, I don't know. So it came out, okay?
This is the day that I get fired. This is it.
Okay, so, and I get fined. Okay, but it says, especially in long-time relationships, things can go, can get really monotonous, and having sex around special occasions to spice things up, says sex therapist Chris Overstreet, PhD, and there can be a really big payoff, as in stronger orgasms for you both and increased bonding. But amping up your game for a special occasion can also add pressure.
Yes. It's pressure to perform. I think that if you are in situations where you're going to have this big sexathon, right? So you're going to get a hotel room with your significant other, and you're expected to have sex multiple times that day, maybe like 10, right?
Yeah, what's up with the hotel room thing?
I don't know. I think
what's up with that?
So for a lot of people, it goes back to a point in time where they were kind of doing this thing secret, right? It was a secret. It was this, you know, I'm being catered towards, I'm being chased, I'm being pursued. We're going to meet up at the secret location. Mm-hmm. We're going to turn our phones off. And it's like we're having this mystery relationship, right? It's kind of like allowing you to enjoy the mystery, right? The secrecy of it. Think about it. For a lot of people, some of the best enjoyment they had was when they were sneaking around with someone else, right? You were sneaking around when you were a kid. Your friends, your parents say, hey, don't hang out with that guy. But Bern, you still went out.
I never snuck around. I was raised Catholic. We didn't sneak around. We had to go to confessions every week. We didn't sneak around.
But for a lot of people, that's when they enjoy things the most, or when they were in college and they had to sneak out the dorm.
What does that say about, I don't mean to interrupt you, but what does that say? This is such a lively conversation. But if somebody likes to sneak around, what does that say about their personality?
They could be an adrenaline junkie.
They could be an adrenaline junkie?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, and is that necessarily a bad thing? Do we find other ways to where we kind of inject this feeling of this body chemistry or this chemical within our body? I don't know, because think about it. An adrenaline junkie may also race cars. They may jump out of airplanes. They may sneak around and meet up with their significant other, their wife, and go have sex, right? They may have sex in mm-hmm. the dressing room at Macy's.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They may do these things because in their mind, the thought of getting caught gives them this feeling that feels real good and makes them happy.
Hmm.
I want to know what it says about Instagram on that.
Oh, on Instagram, it says create an IG, Instagram filter, IRL. It says we're not saying you need to go light more candles than the Vatican or scatter rose petals everywhere, but there is a few clever ways to create a mood without killing it. And yes, one of them involves candlelight. The candlelight is real life. Candlelight is a real life Instagram filter. And who doesn't want that when they're naked? Hmm. Okay. It says instead of buying a 50-pack of tea lights from Costco, which could be a fire hazard, invest in one statement candle as a gift, as a scene setter, all in one. Besides buying candles, Melissa 26, a publicist in New York, makes sure she and her partner can refuel and rehydrate after special occasion romp. Once when they hadn't seen each other for a while, she says she stocked the room with snacks and chocolates and flavored seltzers and blah, blah, blah.
Gotcha.
So that's okay. It. And then it says to slow way down and play with positioning and make an X-rated Toy Story.
Imagine walking into a penthouse hotel room and it's filled with just red roses all over. And the lights are low, the candles are going, there's champagne. And the person that you're expecting to see is not there, right? They're not there. They're just allowing you to sit in that moment, in that mood.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the chemistry that's going on within your body to know that somebody put so much time and effort into
making
sure
you've done this
that
before.
You're happy. You know, Look, listen, as a therapist, I learn a lot about things that people are doing, and okay. I read a lot of different okay. things. These things...
I'm joking with you. You know that.
Oh, I know. These things are enticing, right? If you think about it, imagine, you know, for the husband, he comes home from work, he's worked hard, and he walks in the door, and his wife is just in her birthday suit, and she's like, hey, you know, sometimes
I always like, I think lingerie is nicer.
Lingerie is nicer. It's probably a little more classier. But the exotic feeling of knowing that, you know, you don't have to put all this energy and effort into it. And on this other end that somebody did put a lot of energy and effort to, you just kind of have to find your balance and making sure that when you're with somebody for a long period of time, that you're willing to continue to up the ante in your sex life. Try new things. You know, you're against porn, but I know a lot of people who watch porn with their spouses because they're trying to learn new tricks of the trade. They're not using it to fantasize about other people. They're trying to figure out, hey, what's the new things that people are doing?
Yeah.
New tricks.
Well, what's the name of the book? I have it. I just can't think of the name of it right now. Kama Sutra? Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Just get that. There you go.
You get Kama Sutra, but the Kama Sutra may, you read about it, but do we live in an instant gratification society, right?
Yeah.
So we don't want to read about things. Sometimes we want to be able to
look it up. You could light the candles. Yeah, have the petals everywhere, you know, and then go through the book together and pick out your top 10 positions that you want to try or something, right?
Right. Or think about this. Reading the book together when you guys are separate. Like, you're in New York, your partner's here, and you guys are reading it together. So now there's this anticipation buildup at the next time you guys are going to see each other. These are things that make people's sex drive continue to go and makes their sex life with their partner more interesting.
Yeah, I get it. Because, I mean, when you're married for a really long time, you know, it is difficult. Mm-hmm. It is.
I always tell people, when if you're worried, if you have an insecurity about your partner cheating, then you must also believe that there's something that you're not doing. So whatever it is that you feel that you need to do to keep them, do it.
Yeah.
Do it. And if they're into some fetishy stuff, remember, just because a person's into some fetishes doesn't necessarily represent that there's something wrong with them or something happened in their childhood. They can just kind of fantasize about this stuff. Give it a try. Don't knock it until you try it.
Well, I don't know. Some of it is pretty crazy. I remember once a guy said to me something about taking me to a dungeon. That was the last time we saw each other.
I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out, dude.
No, so no ropes.
You're weird. Get out of here.
No rope swings or neckties, huh?
Well, I'm not going to a dungeon. I mean, that's just too much. If you have to try that hard, something's up. You need to dig a little deeper. No pun intended. All right, we're going to break. More coming up with DeJuan Bennett. Do you suffer from imposter syndrome? I don't know. Let's check it out. We'll be right back with DeJuan Bennett. Love this song. Bringing sexy back. I'm bringing sexy back. Oh my goodness. Justin Timberlake. That boy can dance.
And sing.
He certainly can. Well, you know what? Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos. I've got Alicia in the control room and DeJuan, not Ashley, but Alicia in the control room. And I've got DeJuan Bennett here. He is a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo, California. DeJuan has two master's degrees, one in counseling and another in psychology. And he is the owner of DeJuan Bennett Counseling, a private mental health practice here in Dallas. DeJuan believes that the key to mental and behavioral success is the ability to master self-awareness and emotional control. You can find him on his Instagram page or Facebook at DeJuan Bennett Counseling, or visit his website at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. That's PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. Today we're talking, as I said, about imposter syndrome. So what is imposter syndrome, DeJuan?
Imposter syndrome is it's about behavioral patterns that make you feel as if you're fraudulent. So it's when you start to believe you don't belong in the spaces in which you are in. When you think about or when you hear about imposter syndrome, you tend to think about somebody who has a high level executive or somebody who's very accomplished. They have a job, but they're starting to doubt themselves and they're starting to doubt that they're in the right room. Mm-hmm. And you see it majority, to be honest with you guys, you see it a lot with women where they're in spaces and maybe they're a minority because they're the only woman in that space, or they're come from a marginalized community. And now they're starting to look around and they've been told all their lives that they don't belong. They've been told all their lives that they don't. They don't matter. Their accomplishments are insignificant. Now they're in these spaces and they're looking around and they say, well, hold on, maybe I don't belong here. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the CEO or the vice president in this company. And when I look around, all I see is people that look different than me. Maybe I got here because I was just lucky and it wasn't due to my accomplishments or the work or the effort that I put into it.
Wow. And it's more common in women than men. I was just reading, browsing through the book, Ego is the Enemy by mm-hmm. Ryan Holiday. He suffered from this at one time.
Yes.
So, I mean, men do too as well. And it's mm-hmm. it's fascinating, really. So why is this a problem? If someone is already successful, why do they retreat back to that kind of thinking?
I think one of the reasons why this becomes a problem, because you got to think about it, this is something that you tend to, people who are very successful suffers from. So, you know, you may not see this in your everyday Joe. You tend to see this with people who are high achievers. So your CEOs, your vice presidents, your business owners, your radio hosts, all these people who have these high levels of achievement and they start to get in certain spaces, they start to doubt themselves to a point where they're not following other pursuits or dreams. Because you start to believe that you don't belong in the space that you're in, mm-hmm. you're less likely to want to go after the next raise or the next promotion or right. the next opportunity
right.
because you already feel like you're a fraud, right? You feel fraudulent. So that's going to prevent you from going after things that you're more than qualified for, and also it's going to prevent you from recognizing who you are and that you deserve and that you belong to be there.
Hmm. Well, you know, I'm reading that most people believe that imposter syndrome makes you a perfectionist or a micromanager. Are there mm-hmm. other types of imposter syndromes?
So, yes, there are a couple different types of imposter syndrome. So when you talk about perfectionist, you're really talking about a person who believes that things have to be perfect, right? So things have to be done a certain way. If they're not done a way, then it's not done right, right? There was a woman who talked about that she was such a perfectionist that she would send out an email. And if that email had any grammatical errors in it, then she had to then go back and hurry up and email everyone and say, please don't read the email that I sent. I have to go and correct my errors. Mm. Because in her mind, if it wasn't perfect, then she was going to believe that she was incompetent. So that's one of your first person is the perfectionist. Your second person that you're going to look into is the Superman or Superwoman, right? This is the person who feels like they have to do everything. Your workaholic. The person who feels like, well, maybe since I can't out with them, I can outwork them. Mm-hmm. I have to spend more time at the office working. So I'm at the office for 12 hours a day because that's the only way I can keep up because I work harder than most. Mm-hmm. And what you find with those people believe that the only way that they can keep up is if they go out and outperform. If they're in situations where everything's equal, then they're not going to feel important. They're not going to feel as if they're significant. They're going to feel as if maybe one day somebody's going to wake up and unmask them and find out that they don't really belong.
Hmm. And you say it's more common in women. Why is that?
I think because when you talk about women,
I have my answer, but I want to hear yours.
I think what the research says is that you have, so this imposter syndrome has been around since the early 70s. A psychologist, I can't think of her name at the moment, started to study women who were working in I forgot the industry that exactly they were working in. And she started to find
women
out,
just working in general.
That they start to work in industries where, again, they're the only one of, right? So they're mm-hmm. the only woman in that space. And they look around and for years, you know, maybe in the 60s and 70s, women were told to stay at home, stay in their place, and that's where they belong. Well, when you find a woman who's now at a managerial level, she's now at an executive level, she's surrounded by men, and she starts to believe, well, hold on, maybe I don't belong here because no one's like me. No one has my same issues. Nobody's here worried about their kids. Now I start to feel like maybe I'm here because I got lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm just the token. Well, I'm just the token woman. They had to get a woman, so they got me.
Well, sometimes luck does and timing does play a big part. You know, there's a lot of talented people in the world, and very often it's about connections, not what you know or what talent you have, but who you know.
Who you know. Relationships are very important. Informing those bonds and using those relationships as leverage. But here's the problem. When you feel as if, okay, you have 4 or 5 degrees, you've been the CEO, you've been the director, you've been all these things, and then you find yourself as the president or as the person in charge, and you still feel as if what you've done is by luck or by chance or simply because somebody gave you, mm-hmm. they pulled you up, you know, by their bootstrap. Now that makes you're less likely to go out and perform in a way that's going to show the world why you matter,
mm-hmm.
right? Why I matter. And it's going to make you less likely to have a seat at the table and use your voice with the seat at the table that you have.
Well, and women are more prone to it for a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. And I find, and I have found this throughout my career, that mm-hmm. other women really don't. They want to pull you down. Women get jealous. They don't like it when a woman, you know, is rising up through the ranks. They don't.
But I think that's been reserved to believe that there's only one spot at the table for a woman. Yeah. If you look at shows, right, if you look at some of these TV shows that you have, you're going to have one African-American, one woman, and one person who's gay, right? You're going to have, that's what you're going to have, right? Because, and we've been conditioned to believe there's only one spot for you at this table. There's only one spot. So if you're in my spot and we're both women, the only way I can get to that spot if I take you out, instead of, you know, rallying around each other to say, hey, we can do this together, or we can create spaces where there are more of us. And I think sometimes that's even happened when you think about the different types. You know, we forgot about the genius, right? The natural genius who, because they're a natural genius at things, when they don't automatically get something, right? You're used to being really good. You're used to being rewarded. When you don't automatically get something, you feel like an imposter because now you have to put work in. Mm-hmm. When you're used to not, think about your professional athlete who from middle school on to college, he was always the best. And all he had to do was show up and perform. Now you get to the pros, there's an expectation that you have to work harder, that you have to study, that you have to train, and you're competing with your peers, mm-hmm. people who they came from schools where they were the best as well.
Right.
Now you don't feel that you're good anymore. You start to feel as an imposter.
What's that? The big fish in the
small pond.
In the small pond. Now you're the little fish in the big pond.
Now you're the big pond.
Yeah.
And that's part of the imposter syndrome is realizing or feeling as if, hey, I'm in a space. And I'm used to just being able to show up and perform. And now I actually have to do a good job. When we're talking to our colleagues, that's when it's reflective. Because mm-hmm. when I'm mentoring people, I could sit down and talk all day and give this expert advice. But when I have to give expert advice to my colleagues, now I start to see, is this this natural genius thing? Or is it that I feel that, hey, because I'm talking to my colleagues, maybe I'm not as experienced as them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you say it's like we've been talking about, it's more common in women. Everyone says that. But I think it's because women are almost, they're taught or they're forced to acquiesce, you know, our talents, our knowledge, our accomplishments, especially if you're in a marriage, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that you've been conditioned to be submissive,
right.
to particularly men for so long, you start to believe that you have, this space is not just your space. You have been accepted into the space instead of you have taken this space. And I think we have to recognize that as all people who are marginalized, we can take spaces.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of publications don't want to give the women credit. Yeah. You know, they don't. It's all about the man.
We have a problem with how we treat women in society. We have a problem with how we treat, you know, people of color in society. And I think if we start taking these spaces more often, you won't see as big of a problem.
Yeah. I love talking about this. I do. And I love having DeJuan Bennett in studio. You can find him at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. More coming up, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This girly music. I like it though, don't you? Oh my!
Such a throwback.
I need a new set of headphones. My wires jacked up. Keeps cracking on me. I can't hear myself. Oh boy. Here we go. I'm not gonna move. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos and DeJuan Bennett. I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, or you can go straight to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. It is a premier all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. And Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Check them out at Enviromedica.com and Wild Foods, small batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR again for 20% off. Paleo FX, heal thyself, change the world for a limited time. Badges are 25% off. Use the code FX25 at checkout and visit them at Paleo FX. And Karma Baker from Southern California, our affiliate, KMET. Check it out, or you can order online worldwide. worldwide, always vegan, 100% organic, and gluten-free. Experience Karma Baker. Check out some of their great specials that they have, and they always have the most beautiful cookies, and you can put them in the freezer and they last. So Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, Veg World Magazine, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And be sure to check out our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all of their products and free shipping. Okay, let's continue talking about imposter syndrome. I've got Dewan Bennett here in studio. He is a licensed professional counselor with over 11 years of counseling experience from Vallejo, California. You can find him on Facebook or Instagram at Dewan Bennett Counseling. We're talking about imposter syndrome. Okay, so during the break, we were talking about the different types of imposters out there, or that they feel like they're imposters. You talked about the expert and the soloist. So what is that?
So the soloist is going to be someone who feels as if they have to do it on their own. A lot of times with the soloist, that has been something that's been conditioned into them, is that if they need help, then they're not good enough, right? You know, you need to put yourself on up by your own bootstraps. If you fall, you got to get up. You don't need help with your homework. You don't need help learning that new musical instrument. You have to figure things out on your own. So as they become adults, they start to believe that, hey, if I'm asking for help, then that means I shouldn't be doing this job. I don't belong. And so I have to do it on my own. These people struggle with going out and delegating. They struggle with going out and seeking help or seeking advice, or even struggle with having a mentor, because in their mind, they have to have all the tools necessary to do every job.
Wow. That's very unrealistic. No one does it alone.
It's unrealistic because they have been conditioned to believe that getting help is a sign of weakness. And as a result, they struggle with simply just saying, hey, I need some help. I need some advice. Could you critique this? Can you look over this for me? And one of the things that happens with that is you start to see someone who tends to live on an island, you know, professionally, is because they're always locked in their office doing the work, and they don't really do well in leadership roles, because in leadership roles, you're training other people to be leaders one day. You're training them to learn how to do the job. You're not doing the job for them.
Yeah. It's interesting, and it's very interesting. I can see why you want to talk about it. And you talk to a lot of people about this particular thing.
I think in some parts of life I have imposter syndrome. I can think when I first started to work with people in my profession as their therapist. So the first time I started to work with psychologists or other counselors or people that's in the field, and I had to be their therapist, I was a little intimidated, because here I'm working with people who've been practicing a lot longer than me. Why did they choose me? Right? Why did they choose me? First of all, I look a lot younger than I actually am, you know? So why did they choose the young looking African American male to be their therapist? But then over time, I started to realize, hey, there's a reason. And, you know, I started to get feedback from them, and, you know, they really enjoyed it. They really enjoyed me helping them. So I started to kind of pull myself out of it. But every now and then when I get a referral and, you know, and for every reason, you know, I see on the referral that the person is an MD or the PhD and they're a psychiatrist, I know they know all the stuff. Mm-hmm. They know the stuff that I'm going to tell them. The difference is I had to find within myself. I have a certain set of expertise or skills that allows them to push forward or push past that wall that's in their way. Mm-hmm. So I think some of us have it, you know, within ourselves.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So if someone thinks that they suffer from this, what can they do to help themselves?
I see, one of the things that you want to do is remember, imposter syndrome is an internal feeling, right? It's not necessarily about you have all these degrees and you need more, because you actually see these degrees. You see these degrees and these trophies and these awards, but it's still a feeling that you have within yourself. So one of the things that we always tell people is you have to develop a new, you have to learn to reframe things. You have to, instead of telling yourself, hey, I'm not good enough, say, hey, I'm struggling with this thing, right?
Right.
You have to develop a new perspective or a new way of thinking about things. You also sometimes have to be able to fake it till you make it. And what I say is, instead of worrying about making sure you have all the tools before you show up, say, hey, I'm going to show up, and while I'm there, I'm going to learn. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to show up and say, hey, I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to learn. And then if you feel like, hey, I'm still struggling, I've tried to kind of reprogram my brain, I still showed up and I'm still not asking for help, then we start to have to look in, okay, what's going on? Maybe we need to talk more about this issue within the office, because if you talk about it in your office space, I guarantee you you'll find out there are other people who have the same thing. And then you kind of form a support group within your office.
Well, so imposter syndrome is basically like just an overwhelming anxiety, but more focused on your career?
It can be. It doesn't even have to be about your career in general. It can be very specific. Like I said, it can be, I'm really good at going out and talking to young people and going out and talking to people who may not know much about a certain topic. But when we get to talking to my peers, then sometimes I worry, right? Anytime I've had to present for my peers, mm-hmm. I worry. I'm ready for the feedback. I can't wait to see the feedback forms to see what people said. And mm-hmm. when other times I really don't read it.
Yeah.
Because for me in that situation, I know I'm being judged by a crowd who knows what mm-hmm. who knows the information. Yeah. So you can't just sell them anything.
Right.
Right? You know? So what I had to learn is it's not about the anxiety. It's about me having to realize that I'm an expert in a certain thing. I'm not an expert in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I always tell people there are some people who can get up on stage and they can wow you with their information and their ability to know the DSM and everything about psychological mental health and issues, and they can wow you with that information.
But do they have a personality?
But do they have the personality?
Because that's what makes a good doctor.
And can they build the relationship? Yeah. I'm really good at the relationship part of it. I'm really good at the feedback. I'm really good at listening and taking the time for allowing a person to vent. And I had to learn my lane, and I had to learn, hey, there are certain things that I'm really good at, mm-hmm. and that's why I have people who are professionals themselves seeking me
right.
out. So I think you just have to be able to pull yourself up and say, hey, where do I struggle with? Why do I feel like I'm a fraud? And put on a new hat and start to make changes mm-hmm. and do things differently.
Yeah. And people will say really crappy things to you.
Yes.
You know, I remember one time someone said to me, who do you think you are, Diane Sawyer?
Wow.
They actually said that to me. I won't tell you what my response was.
Come on now, Bern. You gotta, you know.
But people will try to drag you down.
They will. You have to be mindful of your environment. If you have this imposter syndrome, or you believe that you're a fraud, but then you're constantly walking into spaces, whether it's home or in your work profession, that people that don't work with you on a day-to-day, but people that's kind of in the surrounding areas of your work profession are always talking down to you, then be mindful, right? That's mm-hmm. one of the ways that you can deal with it, because maybe you have to remove yourself mm-hmm. from that negative energy that you're receiving from those people.
And people do want to drag you down. I'm going to tell another story. This is a good one. I won't say who it was, but it was somebody very close to me for many years in my past, and I was having a conversation in a school parking lot. And, you know, so I say the word illustrated. I used to say it like illustrated. I always kind of say it weird. Sometimes I say it right. Sometimes I say it wrong. Kind of like Barbara Walters, you know, I'm comparing myself to, you know, her in the sense that she would have words that she just said weird. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she clearly got over it. She's one of the best journalists out there and interviewers in the world. And anyway, so this person said to me, Isn't it funny? Your show's pretty good, except that, you know, you just say words incorrectly sometimes, like illustrated. You say it illustrated, and was just trying to like make fun of me. And I was I do say it wrong. But I remember at first, you know, walking with like my tail between my legs, like I'm a loser. I can't say the word illustrated right. Blah, 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 you know.
I love that analogy.
F you, you know, who do you think you are telling me that? Let's put you on a mic and see how well you do, you know?
And then you own it. You own it from there. You own it. You say, hey, I may not say things the right way, but my audience understands what I'm trying to say. And that makes me authentic. That makes me is that I'm not out here trying to make sure that my grammar and the way I say things is always correct. I'm trying to deliver a message. And I think that's important. You have to visualize yourself being successful. And a lot of times I ask people, well, tell me what success looks like for you. And then they describe their lives. And I'm like, well, hold on. You're describing what you're currently doing now. So why do you feel like a fraud? And at that moment, it's like a light bulb goes off and they can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes you have to be able to say to a person, like you said, F you, I'm doing this. I'm the right person for the job. I worked hard to be here. I put in the time. I put in the effort. I put in the 10,000 hours, like Malcolm Gladwell says. I've done all those things. And now I'm reaping the benefits or the fruits of my labor.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny how people want to bring you down. I have so many things going through my head right now that I'd love to share. Just fun stuff, you know.
You got some people that maybe we need to talk to about imposter syndrome. But if we survey people within just this building, right? We're in the iHeartRadio building in Dallas. If we survey people within this building, then what you will see is that you're going to have at least 50% of people say at certain points or in certain things, they deal with this exact same thing. Like I said, it can be very circumstantial. It doesn't have to be that I always feel that way, but in certain circumstances, I feel that way. Just us in this room, I guarantee you we all have those circumstances that we avoid because we feel like a fraud. I'm going to avoid having an interview with Dr. Phil or, you know, Barbara Walters or somebody because, like, hold on, they're a genius. They've been doing this for years. How do I feel when I'm comparing mm-hmm. myself to them?
Well, and Barbara Walters, speaking of her, you know, mm-hmm. she clearly didn't. She was so determined and just so gracious and so smart, mm-hmm. if you will. And so and she rose to the very, very top, even when she mispronounced words or yep. said them in a quirky way. Yep. That's what made her her. And that is what people really, at the end of the day, they want authenticity. Yeah. That's what they want. Yep. So.
Even somebody like Maya Angelou had the same fear.
I loved her.
You know, she suffered from imposter syndrome mm-hmm. even after all the things she did. So yep. people have it.
Yeah, they do. It's always great to have you in studio. You guys, Dewan Bennett, you can find him on Instagram or Facebook at Dewan Bennett Counseling or his website, PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. Everyone, I hope you have a great Tuesday. It's Teatless Tuesday. Try not to eat any dairy. Help the cows out. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. So get out there today and be contagiously positive.